welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, Pastor said something a few weeks ago I wrote in my notes. He asked, what is our life based on? You know, what is our foundation? What do we base our beliefs? What do we base what we think? What is it based on? And I was starting to think about how a computer has an operating system. And without an operating system, it doesn't work. And we know in this world, there's two competitors. There's Microsoft and there's Apple. And you can pick one and choose one and argue one and like one more, whatever it may be, but you have to have that operating system for the computer to function and work. And our spiritual lives are the same way. We have to choose what's going to operate our spiritual operating system. And the enemy is trying to corrupt that, mess it up, get viruses in there. And the Lord just wants us to base our lives on his word, base our lives on the truth of God's word. And I just want to read quickly first, just from the scripture verse in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18 about the difference between light and darkness. And in order to keep that solid, we have to make sure that we are linked up in the spirit with the things of God, not being trapped and tricked and being pulled by the enemy in all different directions. So let's see what it says in the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the Amplified says, do not make mismated alliances with them, or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So come out from among unbelievers and separate, sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. You know, a lot of times we use an example. If we were to turn all the lights out in this room and cover the exit lights, it'd be pitch black. There's no windows in here. It would be dark. If we turned one cell phone on, if we turned on, even our watch light might shine a little light in the darkness. Immediately the darkness goes. Why? It doesn't go together. You have to understand light and darkness cannot be together. But we live in a world where light and dark is constantly trying to be mixed together. You know, the church is trying to see how much of the world we can implement into the church to make people happy and satisfied and to keep their attention, when we should be just speaking the truth of God's word and the light and not have anything to do with darkness or anything to do with the world and just giving in to. We see all kinds of denominations talking, saying it's okay to, you know, to believe whatever you want to believe as long as you love God and as long as you know that God forgives you. It's okay how you live. God will forgive you. And we know that the word of God says that that's not true. And we know that it's black and white, but it's starting to get diluted because people are basing their life on what they see in the world. People are basing their life on what they're constantly being pounded with, television, on the job, with media, what they're looking at. And slowly, the world is starting to base their lives on compromise, being unequally yoked, saying, well, I'm going to witness to this brother as I go into business with him, or I'm going to, you know, what's the big deal if I do a little bit of this sin, even though I know it's not that bad, you know, a little white lie, it can never hurt anybody. But we know it's wrong and it's darkness, and little by little that'll start to overtake us. And so we as believers have to make sure, if we're calling ourselves believers, the first thing, make sure we're not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know what a yoke is? It's what they used to put two steer in. You know, and if you put a donkey in a yoke and a steer in a yoke, that steer will drag that donkey everywhere. But I can tell you something, sooner or later, if that donkey puts its feet down and says, I'm not moving, that steer is going to get tired of dragging that donkey around. And you know what? That steer, no matter how big and how strong it is going to say, you know what? It's easier for me just to stand here. It's easier for me just to give in to this donkey because I'm tired of dragging him along. That's what happens spiritually, being unequally yoked. We may be able to pull somebody along that we're trying to witness to, that we're trying to speak the word to, that we're trying to be kind to, but we know we're mismatched with them in our allegiance. Sooner or later, little things are going to happen in our life where we're going to become given into the being unequally yoked, because it's hard to constantly be dragging. How much better is if you had two steers in there working together, doing what a steer is supposed to do, plow the field. You know, if we're supposed to be preaching the word of God and living a life of non-compromise, how much easier is it to be linked up with somebody in the spirit that believes the same thing we believe, that's doing and wanting to accomplish the same thing we want to accomplish? If you put two donkeys in there, you're not going to get anything done. We're not going to call you a donkey, don't worry. But you may be finding yourselves in a situation for maybe a few years or a few months, or you feel you're dragging this person along, whatever area it may be, and you're basing your belief on being unequally yoked, saying, but I'll get them sooner or later. And you turn around and the field's not getting plowed and you're not making any ground. And so you have to be careful. As believers, we can't be unequally yoked, because we'll change what we believe, what's controlling us, what's operating our lives. We should not be in fellowship with lawlessness or iniquity, this verse says, putting sin away. We shouldn't be in fellowship and thinking it's okay to sin, and thinking it's okay and say, oh God, forgive me, and then turn around and go do it again. Sin means to repent, turn, to go away. Have fellowship and try to mix light and darkness. We just read it. Light and darkness don't go together. The Bible talks about the tongue in James, where it says bitter and sweet can't come out of the same faucet. You know, if you're tasting something sweet in a drink and somebody throws something sour in there or some salt in there, it doesn't take much. That'll taste yucky. Bitter and sweet don't go together. And so we have to be careful that we're not trying to mix the two. It's not going to work. We have to make sure that we don't have deep relationships with unbelievers. The church, a lot of times, will maybe you've come out or haven't been saved long, and you had relationships with the world, and you don't want to sever them, or you don't want to give up on them, or you don't say, well, if I'm not friends with them, what's going to happen to them? And you compromise your belief system because of a deep relationship with somebody that's not a believer, or somebody that's pulling you in the wrong direction. Well, but you know, this person helped me out in this time, and this person did this for me, and you don't know, they were there when nobody else was there. But if they're not a believer and they're not yoked up in the spirit, that's going to drag you down sooner or later. You have to make sure that your relationships are with godly people. That's not to say you toss the world aside. You just don't get in the yoke with them. You stand outside the yoke until they're ready to plow the field with you. Then you get in the yoke with them and you accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. We should not try to have agreement with the things of this world. Don't try to change the world's mind by you giving in to what they're doing. You know, a lot of times we talk to younger kids and we call it missionary dating. Oh, I'm going to get him saved, or oh, I'm going to get her saved, and I'm going to bring him to church, and they're going to love God. Yeah, they're going to come to church for you, and they're going to do everything for you. And then when the relationship is over, they're not in church anymore because their relationship wasn't with the Lord. Their focus wasn't on God. Their focus was on doing everything they were supposed to do to make you like them or to go through the motions. And so it's better to say, you know what, if you want to date me or you want to be with me or you want to be in business with me, here's my standards. Here's what I believe in. Get in line with God's word and then we can talk. But a lot of times we're enticed by natural things, the beauty of the young man or the beauty of the young woman or the money the person brings into the business relationship with them, or the social status and the connections that they have. Oh, but it looks so good. If it's unequally yoked, it's not going to work. And so we have to make sure that our operating system in the spirit is not in any way based on the things of this world. Amen? So ask yourself the question, what is your operating system based on? And the Lord gave me a few things to go back and forth. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. You know, we fall into trap of mixing and confusing what God wants from us to what the world is trying to get us to do. And the first thing is, our operating system in the spirit should be based on love, not lust. See, there's a big difference. The world bases relationships on lust, desires on lust, mindsets on lust. The Bible tells us to base our focus on love. And 1 John 4:7-12 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love springs from God, and he who loves his fellow man is begotten or born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand to God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God." That's a mouthful. If we're not loving our brother, if we're not loving our fellow brothers in Christ or anybody in the world to have compassion for them, it says right here, you're not acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. In this love of God, we made manifest, displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his son, the only begotten or unique son, into the world so that we might live through him. And in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be appropriation, the atonement and sacrifice for our sins. In this love, it says, not that we loved God first and then he came for us. God loved us first. See, our life should be based on loving people where they are, not for what they're doing for us, not for what we can gain from them, not for status in any way. We should be loving them because God told us to love them, and God is love. God loved you before you were formed in your mother's womb, the word of God says. Let's look at verse 11. Beloved, if God loved us so very much, we also ought to love one another. No man has at any time yet seen God, but if we love one another, God abides and lives and remains in us. And his love, that love which is essential, is brought to completion, to its full maturity, run its course, and is perfected in us. See, people will see love in us. So our operating system needs to be based on love. What it doesn't need to be based on is lust. And let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 15 and 16 says this, "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's a mouthful. You cannot, it goes right back to being unequally yoked, light and darkness. You cannot say that you love God if you cherish the things of the world. That means they become more important than the things of God. You're a liar. If you study this, this is what it tells you, that you're a liar. Light and darkness don't go together. You can't be in the world. The Bible says to be in the world, but not of the world. You have to function. We're aliens. You should understand that. This body is a tent. We're borrowing it until Jesus comes back or until we go to be with him. We're just passing through. You cannot be a part of the world and love it and cherish it and want to constantly have one foot in the world, because it says right here, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have to understand there needs to be a line drawn. It should be love and not lust. Look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources or stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. We fall in love with the things of the world, church. We base our lives on the things of the world, and that's where we get in trouble. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what I live my life by. Seeking first the kingdom of God. And then the Bible says, all these things will be added unto you. We don't have to worry about a thing. But when we allow the things of the world and the assurance of our own resources and stability on earth to take over, we're in trouble. It's not love, it's lust. It's that unholy desire for the things of the world. Does that mean you shouldn't have a car, you shouldn't have a house, you shouldn't have a job? No. John 10:10 says this thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, in line with the word of God. Where we don't cherish those things, and those things don't drive us to our decisions. In other words, our operating system in the Spirit is based on the love of God first, and all those other things follow after.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.